Hey, yo, you ready?
Well, we've got an especially dirty hippie here down on the court trying to sink an impossible shot.
This is human drama at its best. Just focusing, taking a moment to concentrate. That's okay. Concentrate all you want.
Let's do it.
Coach Yellow.
Good morning on this beautiful Sunday morning.
Good morning. Slow start here for the boys. Slow start here for the boys. Everyone's kind of reeling. Nicest Saturday we've had just about all year thus far, and you could tell the boys are reeling from it.
Well, my Saturday was spent inside of a basketball gym.
Well, of course, as we've spoken about at ad nauseum here.
But you look like visually like you had a good day yesterday.
Yeah, I got a little sun. Went to a little cookout. It was a nice time. You know, it's one of those things, like the first cookout of the year, you almost jump into it a little too hard. And by that I mean I probably had, I don't know, like 60 apps. There were like steak and chicken kebabs, had a few of those, some baked mac and cheese, had like a half a container of that. I mean, it was a little much. But getting into cookout season, my favorite season, you know, everyone's like always like, oh, I got to get, you know, my summer body ready. I'm not a huge believer in that.
I'm trying to get my summer body ready.
Yeah, I'm not a...
trying keyword.
Yeah, I've never been like a huge body guy. I've never looked good. And that's fine. Even in my like heyday, like of college, being in like great shape.
Yeah.
Everyone would look at me and be like, you play college basketball? I always tell Kim I'm shaped like an egg. So I went for a suit fitting yesterday as well before the cookout for my buddy's wedding. And for the first time ever, I had to go a pant size up. First time ever. And humbling experience to say the very least. But I need a little room for the rump.
Yeah,
I got a little dump truck I'm kind of dragging around here
a
little bit. Yeah, a little wagon that I'm dragging. And my current suit pants are a little more snug than they were before COVID. I even tried on my wedding suit from September.
Yeah.
A little tighter than it was in September. So your boy needs to reel it in a little bit. But, well, you know, what can you do?
I got a Peloton 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I've done probably 4 or 5 classes. And I really started heavily this week. So the diet starts Monday type talk started last Sunday night.
Good for you actually starting the diet. I've probably said diet starts Monday 15 times in my life, and never once has the diet started.
Huge reason why I started this diet. We played in a tournament last weekend, and our 10th grade played well, won the tournament, went 4-0. So congratulations to those guys.
Woo-woo.
And after you win at these tournaments, the tournament provider will go ahead and take a team photo. Right. So I hopped in that team photo with the guys.
Oh, no, you weren't happy with it.
If you go on our Rise Above account, you'll notice that there's just a team photo of the guys and not myself.
I did notice that.
But what you also will notice is there's a hand on top of one of the player's shoulders on the far right of the picture.
Yeah.
And that's my hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, my hand looks fine.
The invisible hand.
Yep, my hand looks fine. But the original photo, the way I was standing and I had my hand up.
Yeah.
I had a boob.
Nice breast.
I had a breast.
Nice breast.
And it was in the shirt. You know how they say like when you wear black, it kind of disguises.
It's supposed to be slimming.
Of course.
Yeah.
I had red on, not sure why, and it was not disguisable. I was like, oh, I'm going to post this photo.
Great
to the
photo.
Oh,
yeah.
Happy for the guys. I saw it. You ever see that photo and you just like, after you're just like, wow, I look like that right
who's
now?
Who's that guy? So there's a famous photo amongst my group of friends. We went out for my buddy's, it was like his bachelor party during COVID or whatever. We went to the Double Eagle Steakhouse on the Seaport. whatever chain it is.
Del Frisco's,
thank you. And there's this photo, you know, sometimes it's angles or whatever that happens, and I'm wearing like a quarter zip, and we're all, you know, arms around each other. You can kind of picture it's like four or five of us, arms around each other. The waiter's taking the photo. Now, this guy, his name was Mike. He was a great waiter, not a good photographer, clearly, after this photo. But the way I'm angled, I look like a fucking trash can.
It's the worst feeling.
It's just awful. And every time my buddies were just kind of razzing on each other, my buddy Sam, shout out Sam, Sam Dodge, has it queued up.
Yeah.
Boop, sends it right to the chat, and everyone gets a fucking kick out of it except for me. I dislike it. Talk about reactions on text. Automatic.
So he does it for
down.
You. He knows that you don't look great.
I literally look like a human trash can.
But that,
like,
was
the width.
So that was me. So I think I, honest to God, I think I lost 6 pounds this week. Not even kidding.
Good for you.
Probably put a few back on last night. I had my cheat day as my Saturday night.
But always been a big believer in weekend calories don't count.
So hopefully, I don't know how many you could put on in one night, but I put on a good amount.
Right.
I ate a lot. Why I'm poor at and all over the place today.
I have one thing to say, though, and you probably looked fine.
No. Nope.
And look fine, but you gave me a red New Balance or polo for RAB.
Yeah.
Yeah, and remember I told you, like, Coach, that ain't going to slide.
So it's not a great...
It's Moob City. It's Moob City, USA.
Yeah, these are tough ones. They feel good. They're light.
Very tight around the chest area.
Well, which
if you're not lifting and benching 225 for 10,
yeah,
it ain't going to go great.
Which is weird because I feel strong and I've been lifting, but I don't think it helps when I'm eating Krabby Patties at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, well, or hot fries more specifically.
So there's we got the Peloton.
Yep.
And I took a couple of classes this week. Been really pushing myself.
Those classes, we've had a few conversations about those. We don't need to go any further into that.
So listen to this. I'm in a class. The first day, I was pumped. I'm in a class, but there's only 4 people in my class.
Okay.
But I crushed it. Came in first place. I was like, I'm going to set the tone early.
I like that.
Came in first place. And the next day, I'm in a class with 9 people.
Yep.
Okay? I'm... you know, 6th, 7th place throughout this class in a 30-minute class. And I'm just like, this is fucking nuts. Yes. I'm like, who am I biking against?
Yeah, you got a couple
every time my instructor's telling me, like, all right, slow it down. I'm going fast. I'm trying to catch up to these Lance Armstrongs in my class.
Yeah, yeah, Tour de France.
So all of a sudden, there's a minute left, and the guy at the top of the leaderboard is in, like, the 300s. I don't understand how it works. And I'm at like $1.45. I'm like, all right, I'm not catching this maniac.
Right, he gone. Bye-bye.
But I see the guy who's battling me, 6th, 7th place. We keep jumping.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, I told myself the last minute when there's a slowdown,
to the wall,
I'm going to be flying.
Yeah.
So you get to that point, and this is probably a 25-minute class.
Yeah.
I've already burnt like 350 calories, so I'm moving.
You're cruising.
I'm moving.
Yeah.
The last minute, she's like, all right, slow down. She's getting into the stretch stuff. I crank the resistance. I'm flying. I'm flying on this thing. And all of a sudden, I look at his. He's flying.
He's gone.
I'm like, both of our numbers are spiking. I'm like,
little does he know, Brendan was signed into 2 accounts and he's competing against himself.
We're battling for 6th place out of 9 people. I'm like, give me a break. This is just more for my OCD. I need this for me.
Right.
I need this.
You just don't want to be in the bottom third.
I was cruising for that last minute. I was flying. I thought the pedal was going to fly off the Peloton. I was going that fast. And I was thinking in my head, I'm like, this guy is doing the exact same thing as me, the fucking psycho. Seventh place out of 9th.
How comfortable? I'm staring at the Peloton now. We record, as we've mentioned, in Brendan's workout room here. How comfortable is
it? Feels like
seat?
A Louisville Slugger up your ass.
Okay, I was curious because... clearly, that guy who was at 300, you were at 140, is probably a uniballer, just like Lance Armstrong, because there is nothing more uncomfortable than a bicycle seat. The fact that it's 2021 and they haven't figured out how to make a comfortable bicycle seat is baffling.
Dude, the next day, can't walk. My patties are killing me the next day.
Right. I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, so just widen it out. Yeah, just widen it out.
Yeah, it doesn't feel great.
No.
But I'll be honest, the sweats I get on the Peloton, I don't get anywhere else. The only time I sweat that way is when I play pickup, obviously in a basketball game. But that was, So yeah, I mean, I'm a coach, obviously, and I'm trying to coach guys to win basketball games, and here I am finishing seventh out of ninth. What a fucking
seventh
loser.
Out of ninth, and you're lumbering up and down the sideline because of your patties are just crushed from the bicycle seat.
For what it's worth, maybe they're telling me like, hey, you know, maybe, I don't know, it's just like the world. You got these, maybe it's like, all right, Brendan, we've seen you got a Peloton. You've been on it four times since you bought it. Like, we're gonna make you feel bad.
Make you have to really work on it. That's true, honestly.
When I was pedaling on this thing, I'm looking at the top of the leaderboard, and I was like, if my resistance, and if people who have Pelotons understand this, my resistance and cadence is at the highest that we're supposed to go for what the instructor's telling you.
Yeah.
And I'm in those levels the whole time. I'm like, why am I 200 points below this top person? What is he doing or she doing?
They're definitely fudging the numbers.
Yeah, I'd imagine. I bet it looks like that. I bet everyone thinks they finished sixth.
And they'll throw you a bone every once in a while.
Like you're on like on, you know, Jimmy Smith screen, like BP Carter 21 or whatever your username is in first.
Speaking of which, since we're talking about adult athletic things, I was in Southie yesterday. I was taking Ollie out for a walk.
Southie was probably buzzing yesterday.
Yeah, you know what else is buzzing? Yuppies on rollerblades.
Rollerblades?
Yes. They're buzzing up and down the streets now, yeah. Which I used to love rollerblades. Like, I was a poor hockey player at best growing up, but I could rollerblade. Like, I could skate like
you're looking
normal
at
stuff.
You're looking at a non-skater here. Could never rollerblade. Couldn't figure it out. Big-time scooter guy.
Love hoop, but I loved street hockey. Like, that's all my friends growing up were hockey players, so I grew up playing street hockey a lot. But what I'm seeing a lot of now is I'm seeing a lot of rollerblades with these ginormous stoppers on the back of them. You know what I'm talking about?
Are we looking at, just to clarify, are we looking at like the athletic rollerblades or like the ones you get at like United Skates of America the two and two and the stopper in the front and the back?
Stopper in the front and the back? What do you, no.
You never seen those? Skates. Those are roller skates. Like I'm talking about like T.I. What's the movie with
inline skate?
What's the movie with T.I.?
No, we're not. No.
The whole time.
Yeah,
we're not
at the roller rink.
We're not grooving.
No, we're not at the roller rink.
All right.
No, but I'm talking like, if you were a hockey player.
Like X Games.
They used to be Mission rollerblades when we were younger.
Yes. Okay. All right. Yep. I know.
I think
about.
It's probably graduated into like Bowers and stuff like that. I don't even know if Mission's are around. But any hockey player who's listening to this, or anybody who likes street hockey, you know that you don't throw a stopper on the back of your rollerblades.
No.
That's
you just figure
as
it
an
out.
Adult. That's basically like wearing training wheels on a bike.
Okay.
And I'm seeing it, and I'm seeing these guys like, which is, hey, God love you if you're able to do it. I just for me like. I could never. I'm like, at that point, I'm just not rollerblading. I'm just taking up something else.
Right.
And I've seen guys like with their like girls and stuff, like holding hands with like elbow pads on and these stoppers on the back. I'm like, Jesus, what are you doing, bro?
Yeah, I can't really comment on it, unfortunately, because I could never skate. I was always and this is why I'm an insane person, I was always the goalie in my neighborhood when we played street hockey. No pads, no helmet.
Yeah.
And my buddy was a pretty good hockey player, like, you know, played varsity hockey, whatever, scored a bunch of goals in high school. And, you know, he put a few wrist shots off of the square of my dome, you know. And, like, back in the day when we were kids, there were no concussions. It was just like, all right, yeah, you just, you know, you're like, whoa. And then you just stand back up and you get back to it. I had a quick glove, though.
Yeah.
I did have a quick glove. But, yeah, I could never skate. I scootered. I could wheelie for like 100 yards. I was the Razor scooter, but my God, my fucking ankles.
Am I sounding judgmental when I say that? Like judging people off of like wearing, like if you saw me, if you saw me on a bike and I had training wheels on my bike at 33
years old. Well,
that
would be, I think that's an extreme like comparison. I think if you were 33 years old.
You don't even, you don't grow up. I don't think I've ever had a pair of rollerblades with a brake on them in my life, even growing up. So I don't understand why people would do like.
That's,
so how it do it?
You drag, parents
you drag the wheels. You drag it. You drag
yeah,
the
like
wheels.
Ice skates, right? You just kind of turn why, like, sideways a little bit, or I honestly, I
no,
have
no.
No.
If you go
clue.
Sideways,
no
you're
idea.
Going. You're going.
You're going over. Yeah, you're going over.
No, you drag it. People would always be changing wheels, like even at hockey tournaments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But a stopper. I got to show you these things. Unbelievable. But I'm seeing a lot of people going out to like the island and stuff. And I, you know.
Well, that makes sense. Open space, the big side, like sidewalks over there, you can kind of buzz up and down. But
I, yeah, just maybe just do that stuff at like 12:30, 1 in the morning when no one can see you.
There's no one watching.
Yeah, trying
the,
to balance.
The elbow pads are interesting. I hate that more than I hate the stopper, personally. Yeah. Like, you don't need the elbow pads. Helmets? Are they wearing helmets? I am a proponent of safety.
I mean, listen, they do everything. Know. Reflector shields, you know, they got it all. That. I get it all.
Wrist guards, helmets.
Yeah, that'll be the new hip thing to wear, though, now.
I feel like Debbie Downer lately, but it's just, I feel like every time I go out, I see things. I'm like, why?
As a little callback to our first, I think our first or second ever episode, how was the crosswalk wave stuff yesterday?
Because, don't even get me started. It's just,
because I know if there's probably, you know, 10,000 people in Southie yesterday that don't even live there.
I was with my buddy Harold, who you obviously know.
Yes, of course.
And he was with me in we were in the car no more than 15, 20 minutes, and there were so many times where we were both like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
It's just, it's unbelievable. It's never going to get better.
It's never going to get better.
But I had Ollie up the park, and...
was he just bullying?
So one of the things, so people from Southie know this, new South Boston community, the Yuppies, they think that they'll like go out and they'll send messages and emails to like the town and like these message boards on Facebook and stuff. And they're talking about people, they're complaining about like either people walking in the park with like children or kids playing in the park or whatever these things are because of their little like dog groups. And I got a dog, but I'm like, that's outrageous.
The park is for humans.
Yeah.
Specifically for the kids.
Right. So like even when I bring my dog up there, I look for a space where nobody is. Just right. Throw the ball by ourselves, whatever. These people, like, they get together and they're up there with, like, seltzers and they're, like, talking to the dogs like they're humans. I'm like, slow down. But now they're on message boards and, like, getting aggravated with people that have been living there for their whole lives.
Yeah.
Being like, you know, this can people stop bringing their kids up here or whatever they're saying, right?
That's insane.
But it came to mind yesterday because this guy, chest pumped out, he's got the aviators on.
Here we go. It's probably one of my buddies.
Yeah, but he's one of those dog dads that and what's like the dog trainer guy's name? Like the
guy on Netflix.
Well, no, not the but the well-known dog trainer.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Parusa Paul, anything?
Nothing.
Great.
Paulie Walnuts. Wait a minute. Welcome back, Paulie Walnuts. Brendan invited him back into the house. I know that's probably pretty shocking after the last episode, but so producer Paul, right, Paulie Walnuts is back in the fold.
Still good for nothing. But I can't think of the name, but this guy thought he was like king shit. Like my dog is the most well-trained, behaved dog in the world.
Yeah.
So he has one of those rubber balls. Yeah. That if you get hit with it, it's probably going to feel like a lacrosse ball getting cranked off your grill.
Oh, yeah, like a racquetball almost.
And he fires it in the middle of like a crowd. You got babies walking around, you got other dogs, and the dog just flies through the crowd, like taking out people's ACLs.
Yeah.
And he's just like, come, Tato! And this dog is a half a mile down the road now from where he threw the ball.
The ball is still bouncing down Broadway.
The dog is just barking. He's barking until this guy meets him. And this guy is walking like he's walking the red carpet.
Yeah.
I'm like, but what are you doing? Go get that fucking thing. Have some dog etiquette, like park etiquette. Like you can't, don't just walk in. Like, yeah, I'll go up there sometimes with Taylor. Zach George?
I'm just scrolling these famous people.
No, it's not Zach. He shows me a picture of some guy named Zach George.
Well, you're saying like famous dog trainers. I have no.
No, like there's like a guy. There's like a guy that people always like will quote like
Zach George.
Not Zach George.
That's the only one I've heard. I was looking for the name for it.
Christ, oh, what is it?
Ask a question. I gave an answer.
Frank.
I'm done with this conversation. Fucking Zach George over here. Anyways,
that's the first. I don't know. My dog trainer's name is Diane.
So back to my point is, if I even see someone coming up with a baby carriage or something, or if I could tell, like some people just don't like dogs, right?
Correct.
I'll just wait, hold the tennis ball, I'll wait for them to walk by, or I'll throw in a totally opposite direction.
All right, get Ollie away, because here's what I pictured other dogs when they see Ollie. It's like the guy who just got out of prison with a ton of tattoos. And you know, he's just like, he's 6'1" or like 5'10".
He's probably 235,
and everyone's like,
in human height, he's probably like 5'9", built like a fire hydrant.
Yeah, literally a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
And I can, all the dogs are probably like, oh Jesus, we gotta switch parks here.
That's not a dog park.
Is this the,
that's a open field.
Is this the park at the top of the hill?
Top of the hill.
Okay.
So people usually, they cut through it.
Yes.
It's a park where you can cut through.
Talking about.
They have a children's playground there. They have the softball fields down
below.
Connection
from L Street.
But it's not
a dog
park.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but that's what people are not understanding. So when you're letting your dog run freely, that's, you're lucky you're even able to do that. Like people could complain the other way around.
People could end up kicking your dog.
Yeah.
By accident, just walking and, like, you know, especially if it's a smaller dog, not going to see
that's
him.
That's entitlement bullshit. It's like how, like, you're complaining. Like, listen, I love my dog at the end of the day, but it's a dog. So, like, if your dog somehow by accident takes out a child because the child's walking through this park, like, that's on you.
That's on the dog.
That's on you. Do not go on a fucking Facebook rant and go on and start like complaining to the city. That's why they have dog parks. I'm not a fan of the little dog park things, but at the same time, I'm not going to complain about bringing my dog somewhere where you technically
to a human
even,
park.
Exactly.
I can't even imagine that the city like looks at that stuff and takes it seriously. Right?
No, I mean,
can't.
No, that's exactly what I said. That's why they have dog parks. Like, they have enclosed areas. That's right. That's not even enclosed.
And
it's
they're
like,
all over South. Right. You know that I mean? Is an open park for, and it's literally it's like a pass through. Like, you use it to connect to other streets.
Yeah.
Like once
again, I'm just spending my whole majority of this fucking episode complaining again. I gotta stop this stuff. I love you guys. And
well,
I love life. And I love Lamp.
Polly Walnuts. I love Lamp.
So Bren was steaming last week. And we finally have the reason why Bren was steaming last week.
It's about time, Coach, because you were, I can't even describe it, the type of mood you were in. Well, we know one of the reasons why, but this is the second reason why, because one was obviously producer Polly Walnuts, and the second reason has finally arisen.
Yep. So as many of our listeners know, we struggled with our last potential guest last week. He had dog shit service. I mean, he decided to give it another try this week. So we'll see what we got today.
Proud of him.
Yep. We got him back. So Massachusetts basketball legend and professional shit talker, Jared Curry.
Holy Cross legend, played there in the heyday at the beginning days of Ralph Willard. When, you know, he was the first, his senior year was the first year they went to the NCAA tournament a long time, and they were very, very good. Gave Kentucky a hell of a game. Braintree Womp, legend, also played at Northfield Mount Hermon. And like Brendan said, professional shit talker. Couldn't care less what you think about him. He's going to tell you how it is, and that's probably my favorite part about him, honestly.
In our listeners who are on here for the life, stick around.
Stick around a lot more life than basketball when talking to this guy, even though, you know, his background is very heavily in basketball. He's ready to light the world on fire.
Yeah. So you know what? He's got a basketball guest on today. You know, I'm going to turn on the radio. No, stick around for this one because he's a miserable prick, but he's going to be a great listen.
He makes steaming Brendan seem like the most positive guy. Make Mr. Okay, Rogers okay. Neighborhood.
Listen, it's just been a bad couple of weeks. That's all.
And here is Jared Curry.
All right, so, and we probably won't put any of the visual recording on here after Jared, just because obviously, you know, two out of three of us are very good looking. You know, we won't.
Yeah, me being the best looking.
Yes.
Let's
face the radio over here. So.
So we finally have our guest. It took him a full week to get service. We're very fortunate to have.
Yeah, that's my bad.
No, yeah, that's 100% your bad. It's yeah. We're very fortunate to have the biggest shit talker in all of the Twitterverse here, Mr. Jared Curry, former Holy Cross alum, one of the best players to ever come out of Massachusetts. And I'll let you know, Jared's a humble dude, but he'll definitely tell you about himself. And so a Braintree Womp, and
yes, baby, Braintree Womp.
arguably played for one of the best Holy Cross teams. He'll argue that, I'm sure, to the death. He made it to the
absolutely
tournament. Played against Kentucky in the first round.
Lost.
Picture. Yep, you did lose. guys, there's a great picture. Great picture. I couldn't find many photos of you, to be honest with you, Jared. But there's a great picture of Jared playing defense for the first time.
You didn't look long enough. Prince. Yeah. Oh, God.
Not a bad basketball player.
Tayshaun? Oh, my God.
Pretty good player.
Freak. Yeah. Like, absolute freak. And our whole – going into that game, it was Tayshaun and Keith Bogans. But when you deal with, like, All-Americans at that level, All-Americans from, like, Kentucky – basically NBA guys, there's nothing you can do. Absolutely nothing. There's just nothing.
No. What was the score of that game? You guys battled, right?
Yeah, we lost by four. And Tayshaun basically hit a three to end it. But he had 30. You know, I mean, like
him hitting a three might be the most surprising thing, because I think he probably shot like 22% in his NBA career.
Yeah, but in college,
he could tie his shoes.
Yeah, college
and NBA. You can tie his shoes standing straight up and down.
Yeah, true. But college and NBA, totally.
Oh, yeah. Totally different.
He came down. Literally, they had to hit a big shot. And he literally called for the ball and said, give it to me. It's over. And he hit it. That was it. These are what NBA guys do. That's what they do.
Who was your assignment that night? Was it Tayshaun Prince, or you just happened to get matched up against him a couple
times? We played at Holy
Match
Cross. Coach Willard, like what he called a point zone, which is really, it's a zone, but it's disguised as a man. So guard to guard would switch, big to big would switch. So it ended up kind of looking like a zone, but it really confused a lot of the teams who were playing it. It even confused Kentucky to the point. So I didn't really have an assignment, but my assignment with the guards, because all of us guards would switch everything. Unfortunately, with the last couple of plays with Tayshaun, he got matched up with a four, who was our best player, Tim Zacco. He came down and Tim called I was guarding Tayshaun, and Tim came over to me because they were setting a screen, and he called a switch. We were not supposed to switch because we only do guard to guard switch, not big to guard switches. So, again, little things matter big time. And he had a really bad matchup against Tim because he was a 6'8" power forward who was our best player at the time. But with an NBA guy, that's a joke.
It means nothing. Yeah,
it's nothing. So he'd give him a little a shake and three, and that was the end of the game. But again, we really were kind of like a matchup zone, but it looked like a man, but it really wasn't.
So you were coming out of Massachusetts. Tell me a little bit about your high school career. Obviously, you were one of the best players to ever come out of Braintree High School.
No, the best player. Not
best
one
player to come out of Braintree High School.
I don't want to have any confusion with that.
And you played for longtime coach who's still there, Coach Crook.
Oh, Coach Crook, he is, you know, in my opinion, obviously I'm biased, but one of the most underrated state high school basketball coaches in Massachusetts. I think he's amazing. I mean, he taught me not only how to play the game, but also how to approach the game from a mental standpoint. He is, and he's still there, you know, and it's funny because now he's getting good players from Braintree coming in, and they're leaving to go the private school route, you know, so he's dealing with that whole thing. He is.
You got a private school coach on here.
Oh, okay.
And two private schools, two private school attendees.
Yeah. So it is what it
talk
is.
Your shit. Talk your shit.
Listen, when I was a player, like I remember what I was like in eighth, ninth grade, Thayer Academy was fucking huge. They had like Carmelo Trevieso and a couple other guys, and they were like crazy. And the coach there was like, hey, we'd like to have like this kid come over and play there. And my dad at the time was like, eat shit. You're a public school kid. You're never going to there. So, and I'm glad that happened because Coach Crook, it all worked out. But if I was growing up in this era and I was talented enough to get a look at some of these private schools and like pay for nothing, hell yeah, I'd do it in a heartbeat. No, like wouldn't even like hesitate. So I'm not knocking it, but I get it, but it is super frustrating for, you know, some of these school coaches.
I think you're knocking it for the same reason as I knock it at times is you're seeing kids leave. You're seeing kids leave early and you're seeing kids leave that probably have no business leaving.
So yeah, true. That's true.
You're seeing guys who could be productive public school, private school kids. And maybe we're talking about the prep school level at this point, but you're seeing guys who could be productive and then they leave and then they go to a place where they're going to sit. And
yeah, like, well, again, like I'm talking from my perspective where if I were to leave when I was playing, I'd be playing. Some of these kids now, you know, they should never leave. Like there's some seniors who should never do a year of prep school ever. You know, listen, I love the fact that you love the game and you work hard. You're just not that guy. It's just not going to happen. 100%. So it's, yeah. And 100%. And that's all right. So the problem is with prep schools and this type of stuff is that these kids are fed a ton of bullshit. They really are.
Yep.
And so unless you're going to a private school and they're paying for it, like it's completely like you're not that kid. If your parents have to float a bill for 15 to 20 grand or whatever it is to go to, you know, Rivers or NMH or whatever, you're not that kid. So stay at your public school, have fun, and try to maybe win a state championship.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you mentioned NMH, and that's you did end up going to NMH to do a post grad year.
Yeah, I
How
did.
Was that was who was the head coach then?
Bill Batty, who's a legend. He's the best. I went to NMH because I was a shithead, but could not. I had a bunch of offers and stuff, but I literally could not get into any of these schools. My grades and everything were very poor. My boards were horrible. And I had somehow got into NMH through a college coach. And I won't say the name, but they facilitated the deal to get me into NMH for basically nothing. And it was not just athletically, the basketball-wise was the best thing that ever happened to me, but academically, it was like night and day from what I was used to.
Yeah.
It changed my whole entire perspective. It basically taught me how to study at NMH. Well, I mean,
you're not doing much out there besides being a student and an athlete, right? Over at NMH.
That's it. I mean, that's it. And then when you go to prep school, if you're a kid who is projected to go like D1 and these coaches are like, hey, you need to go to prep school because you're a shithead. You have to, you know, maintain a certain GPA. You have to get a certain, well, back then, I can't talk till now, but back then you had to maintain a certain GPA and get a certain boards on your SATs and whatnot. So I took the SATs like seven times up there. And the guys are on me constantly. So, but I had a support system in NMH that I never had before academically.
Yeah.
It was the best thing. If it wasn't for NMH, I never, ever would have graduated Holy Cross. There's no way. It gave me the roadblock as to how to get a D. You know what I mean? And that's all I needed. Yeah.
Talking to someone very similar over here. I went
D home. For degree, baby.
Yeah. You know what? And I didn't realize it until I went to school in college. But when I was at BC High, I struggled academically also, but it was also because I came home. I put my book bag down, excuse me, and I went straight to the basketball gym and I stayed there till 9:30. Yeah, I stayed there till 9:30. I came home. My mother and father asked, hey, what do you have homework? It's already done. I don't have anything to do tomorrow. I go in, I'd get a 50 on a test. And that was my high school career. I'll be honest with you. I did no.
Yeah.
And I tell, and it's almost like I teach these lessons to my guys now. I'm like, don't be the idiot that I was. Don't make those same mistakes. And then I got to college and I was like, wow, like, not if I actually did my work and I actually studied, I'd even be more ever prepared because I went to a place like BC High. But it was the same way. It was the same exact thing. And I'm fortunate that I was able to at least be able to see what it's like to prepare you for college, because I would have been the same thing. If I had that same mindset going to maybe Salty High, I wouldn't have never lasted.
You would have been fucked.
Gone. Yeah. Which brings me to one of my next questions. So you grew up, so what were the years were you in high school at Braintree?
92 to 96.
So was Salty High good back? Was that the like?
Oh my God. That was Salty at the time. Salty was the best team in New England.
So I think, was that Monty Mack, DePina?
Yeah, Monty Mack, John DePina.
Roger Roberts was on that.
Roger team. Roberts. And those are three D1 guys right there. Which is something you don't ever see in public school now. No. You just don't.
Ever. And you'll never see ever again.
No. And again, back then, in my league, the Bay State League, Southie was not in the Bay State League, but in my league, we had the Division I state champs through Brookline, and also the Division II through Milton. So it was a brutal league, but back then no one went to, there was no private school stuff back then, you know, like kids stayed where they, you know, although I don't think, Southie's starting five was from Southie, but, that team
was just like Brookline's probably wasn't either, but
yeah. But, they were great teams. Even Milton Division II state champs in 96. Lamar Reddix, who is the coach at Milton Academy now, but he was, you know, a stud at Bentley, the 6'3", like freak. And I grew up playing with him. And I grew up playing with Monty and John DePina and Roberts. I grew up playing with all these guys. So it was just no one left. That's my point. No one left the Boston area. They didn't go to New Hampshire, Maine, or whatever, Rhode Island to play in these prep school leagues like they do now. And I'm not knocking it. If we could have, we would have 100%. But the high school games back then were brutal.
It's really interesting to hear these stories now, because obviously Coach Sheehan, he coaches in the Catholic Conference, and I spend a lot of my time focusing my attention on the MIAA. It's just different. You know what I mean? There's not, you just don't have, and it's not, again, not to knock or not to be insulting, but the talent level and the depth level, in the public and private school systems, just not what it once was.
You know, it's not. I mean,
it's not, like, definitely not.
No, like my freshman year, we lost to Durfee with Chris Herron at the buzzer at Brockton High. Like today, Chris Herron would never play at Durfee. He just won it. But my junior senior year was the Babel brothers from Attleboro, the twins. They went to Georgia Tech and UMass. They would never play at Attleboro today. They just won it. They'd play somewhere else. So like the talent level is still the same in Massachusetts, obviously, but it's now out of more so, I'm saying at the high level, D1 level, it's more so out of the public area. They're going to these private schools, and it is what it is.
So seeing that you're an enormous shit talker, Jared, obviously you do a lot of it behind a keyboard. I don't really know how tough you are in real life. People have told me stories about you that
are you fucking serious? I'll fucking
you had me fucking steaming last week. I'll tell you, I don't know if you listen to us.
Yeah, you're ridiculous.
No, I'm sitting there. I'm like, all right, Jared, can you hear me? That was fun for an hour straight. I'm like, all right, cool. We'll talk later, man.
Yeah.
But so, So obviously Jared is a phenomenal follow on Twitter. If you haven't followed him, go follow him. I don't know his Twitter handle by heart, but it is tattooed on my chest. So if you don't go follow him, definitely go do it. He just basically, he tells it how it is. He shits on the younger generations. And it's as you well should. And he just talks about hoop and things that unappreciated in today's game and just things that are overlooked. And we can appreciate those things as coaches over here. But I was talking to one of my buddies from South Boston, John Hurley, who was also,
My man.
Yep. Him and I got on the phone the other day because I had to do a little bit more research on Jarrett Curry. And he was telling me, so I used to run a 3-on-3 tournament and we actually took it over from John Hurley and Matty Ryan from South Boston. And I found out that you played in it one year.
I did.
The Celtic 3-on-3. And you came down, I think, with a couple of your buddies from Holy Cross, right?
Yeah.
Won your first game. And I think there was like a 3-hour gap or something between your first game and your second. And I'm not sure if this was the tournament where it started rain or whatever, but I think from what I heard, you might've got a phone call for your, future firstborn. Is that correct?
Yeah. My, funny. My oldest, who's a freshman at Clemson right now. At the time, again, got a phone call and we're going to murder that tournament, like to completely destroy it. But, you know, you're getting your first. And at the time I was a child. I don't suggest having kids at 22. Great. Don't do it. No regrets on my end, but for all those people listening, don't ever do this. I had to leave, but I was debating as to staying or going.
Wait, so what year were you at Curry at this time? Were you graduated?
Oh yeah, graduate.
We could say it, cash tournament.
Yeah, 2001, and she was born. So this was 2002. She was literally thinking of my oldest birthday right now. I have no idea what it is. April 1st. But it's all good. But the 3-on-3 tournaments, the hoop games in Southie, Dorchester, Quincy, Branch, or whatever it is, those were the best. Absolutely best.
I'm actually going to run one this summer.
You should. Absolutely.
So I'm going to run one this summer. And I'm going to let the alumni from, that played for me.
Yeah.
Rise Above run it.
Oh,
and I want awesome. Them to run it. I want them to run it in Southie. And yep. I want it to be like a, I wanted to bring that back to old school feel. So we used to have, obviously.
Is that like, gone? Is that old school? Is it gone? Do kids play anymore?
Not unless there's a videographer.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a gym that's open. No one plays outside.
Videotaping this right now. Shout out.
Doesn't happen. I was fortunate enough to grow up across the street from a playground in East Braintree over by the Quincy Shipyard. And, you know, my son and my kids now, like, they give me shit all the time because I'm always like, you need to go out and play. And it's just driveway ball. And that's boring. It is boring. I don't care. Whatever. It's boring. But I grew up across from playground where it wasn't boring. It was packed every single day. Now, 90% of the kids that played sucked, but it doesn't matter. It was like, it was packed. It was fun. You weren't doing drills in your driveway with a video camera, whatever it is. But that doesn't exist anymore. It just doesn't. So
the difference is when we used to go play pickup, we were trying to win every single game we played outdoors.
Because
if you lose, next team comes on, right?
You're done. Yeah.
Now, from what I'm watching, now it's not about winning. It's about one-on-one isolation. Make sure that the video camera is looking at you. You know what I mean? No one gives a shit about winning.
No.
So that's the difference. We shouted out a couple of videographers that honestly do a good job, like for what it's worth. But they even told me off the side, they're like, players won't show up to workouts unless he's videotaping. So someone will be like, hey, you want to come in and get a workout? Or hey, we're going to be going getting some runs until. And they'll be like, is so and so showing up?
Isn't that amazing? It drives me nuts. It like my son will send me clips. Well, actually, no. The other day he's in practice and he's in eighth grade and he had this 6'3 kid on a breakaway, right? And so he goes up and he tries to dunk it. And like, it's not even close, but he grabbed the rim and the whole place went crazy. He didn't even put it in. He didn't even dunk the ball. And my son's looking at me like, wow, wasn't that great? And I'm like, fuck you, dude. That was awful. He can't dunk. He can't do anything. Like just laid in, it just drives me bonkers.
You can ask the kids on my team. We had a couple kids who will go up and practice and try and dunk it instead of lay the ball in. And the kids, the kids on the team will just, everyone will just stop and they know, just, yep, hop on the sideline. We're going to run a, we're going to run a little bit.
Oh, especially.
I can't fucking, I can't. Over here. Well, yeah, I could, you know, I never could touch the rim. So it's probably, you know, a little bit of jealousy, but it's like, if you can't just lay the ball in, 2 points is better than 2 points is 2 points. I couldn't care less how you get it. It's so frustrating.
Last night, Jared,
it's so frustrating.
Big high level varsity game for us for AAU. Easily at least 12 college basketball players on the floor between the two teams.
Yeah.
And kid gets it on a fast break. They're down to us by 12. And the head coach says, bang out. Kid misses the dunk. I looked over at the coach and said, that's your fault for being adult and saying bang out.
Down 12.
Down 12.
Need the 2 points. Bang out. Need the 2 points.
That's hilarious.
That's exactly what's wrong.
It's horrible.
Like, bang out. You're down 12. I would say lay it in. Make sure we get the 2 points. We're down 12.
Lay it
12
in
so
and get up.
Down
lay it in and get
up. But I always I tell my son and my daughters and their peers that the point is, if you're playing AAU, you want to play at a higher level. You want to play beyond high school. Division III, Division II, Division I coaches don't give a shit about fancy dunks or N1 like video clips. They don't care. They want winners, first of all. First and foremost, they want 100%. Fucking winners. So, like, you lay it in, great, go back, make a steal, make the right pass. Like, they don't understand, like, fundamentals will always rule, whether it's today or 1996 or in 2000, you know, fucking 60. It doesn't matter. The fundamentals always, they don't care. But these kids today, which drives me crazy, and I go off on Twitter, they're so caught up in the bullshit. Just, it's all bullshit. And if they would just make the open layup and go back and make another defensive stop, that's what gets you playing at, you know, Division III, Division II, Division I school, if you're a player. But like today, it drives me bonkers. And I have a hard time. Go ahead.
There's kids who shouldn't play college basketball who get on a roster because they do those things. Coach is like, what a breath of fresh air. I'll take this kid every single day of the week over that kid who can dribble between his legs 15 times in a row.
That's a bad coach.
You know, like that coach will, I'll take the kid who works hard, makes the layup and runs down the other end.
Yeah.
You know, totally. They'll always take those, like kids who can't play in college will get spots because they can play hard.
Which is insane to me. It's totally insane to me. And it must be harder now for coaches, given everything that's going on over the last year, not to be able to see a lot of these kids live, because a lot of the stuff you have to see live, you have to see it live. I don't know. It just, not to sound like a grumpy old man, but I grew up in a different era.
I'm already the grumpy old man. Like, I'm that person. I'm 33 years old, and I'm already doing the back.
This is a grumpy old man friendly podcast.
Our listeners don't want to hear us talk about nice things. They just don't.
Well, I'm not nice. So, drives me nuts.
So, I tagged Jared in a post on Twitter, and I tagged him in a blessed to receive an offer from Jared Curry. And that thing was flying off the rails. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. I wanted to wait for Jared before I did that because I knew he would appreciate it more than anybody else because he sees this stuff constantly on Twitter. And that was one of my things. I don't want to sound like, again, that old guy. And I'm really happy for any of these kids who receive an offer because obviously I wasn't good enough to receive an offer on my end. But I would love for kids to be more creative. I'd love for people to stop saying blessed to receive.
Haven't been to church in their entire lives. Yeah.
Right. It's just the same thing. It's just like copy. Hey, Here's my thing. If I'm receiving an offer, and I don't know how many offers you received, Jared, but if I received an offer, I'm going to be over the moon about that. I'm going to do something totally outrageous. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm definitely not going to copy and paste what the other kid did because it doesn't matter what the other kid did. He wasn't in the gym putting up shots with me. That other kid didn't have the same grind. That kid over there is 6'10". I'm 6'3". I had to maybe work harder for whatever it is that I just got. It's like, do something on your own. Like it's that. And that's, I guess that's again, that grumpy old man thing for me is everyone feels like it's just, they have to like fulfill this image, especially on social media. And I'm like, dude, you don't have to even focus on that shit at all. Just, you already got it.
Yeah. But this is why, you know, RAB is a great program, because you know, you tell the truth and you're honest with these kids, and you get the business of college basketball. But a lot of these kids, they're fed so much fucking bullshit that they think they have to market themselves constantly, 24/7. That's what they think they have to do in order to get to some kind of next level. Well, the fact of the matter is that they don't understand that Division III, Division II, and Division I coaches, the majority of them don't give a shit about all of that stuff. They really don't. They just don't. And no one tells these kids that. So I give the kids a pass a little bit, some of the bullshit that they do online. But and I put a lot of the blame on their handlers or whoever their coach is. Not RAB, because that's a great program, but some of the other programs and some of these other handlers, if you will, they just feed them crap. It's just total bullshit, because you can put any highlight tape you want out there. You can do whatever you want online. But if a coach comes and sees you play at the end of the day, none of that matters. None of it. And no one tells these kids that. No one. So like, with like what are the websites that keep the stats for the games? What is it called? Yeah, but like these kids, I think they're great shooters, right? And then you can go on these websites and look at their game stats and say, yeah, you're not a good shooter. You were 4 for 16. You're fucking terrible shooter, but you're a good player. But no one tells you to not shoot. You know what I mean? Or get better. And then when you get better, you might be allowed to shoot. So it's if I was a coach today in high school or even AAU, I'd be terrible at it. Half the kids will leave.
What's even worse than that, rather than the 4 for 16, is the kid who has like 25 points, but he takes 30 shots.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, that's even worse, because you only see that he scored 25 points, but not that he shot 11% from the field to get there.
Yeah.
We talk about this a lot, Jared. We talk about this a lot. Credibility is huge in any business, right? Any industry. So, and I appreciate you saying that about our program. For me, it's pretty simple. I want our guys to go where they're going to be best fit, and I want them to be successful wherever they go. So I'm not trying to send a kid to a college that he might be miserable at and he won't play for 4 years just to say that he went to this quote unquote better school or better basketball program, whatever. You know, I'd rather a kid go play D3 in a conference where he's going to be able to showcase his abilities, and he might not even play right away. With that being said, back to like even the prep school stuff, and I would never drop names here, but I had a parent reach out to me last spring because their prep school coach sent them a list of schools that he wanted me to reach out to. Okay. And I'm talking.
That's a problem.
And that's fine. I don't mind doing that, to be honest with you, but he sent me a list. Out of this list, there was, let's say 14 schools, 13 of them, this player had no chance playing at. They're all Division III. And I'm talking high level Division III, Johns Hopkins, Amherst, Williams, Bowdoin, wherever. Right. And I looked at this list and I'm like, and I had to be straight up front. I said, your coach, your son's coach sent you this list. And the parent said, yes. And I said, okay. I said, I'm not to be insulting. I said, but your son won't be able to play at these schools that you sent me based off of my evaluation, based on what I'm seeing. Doesn't mean he's not a good player.
Yeah,
doesn't mean your son's not a good player, and doesn't mean that he can't play it at the college level, but not there. And that's the problem, because too much of that focus is on the, well, I need to make sure that my image and my ego as a coach is in the right spot. So if I say I sent a kid to go play at, again, Williams or Amherst, but then your kid gets there and he quits after a year, well, I could still say that I sent a kid to Williams Amherst. Then that's the problem. And I think that's a big part of maybe what you're talking about too, when you talk about handlers. It's not even just AAU. It's just their circle in general. And again, just, for me, I was like, I will stop doing this tomorrow. I don't care. I'm like, it's not about, I'm going to tell you, if you think you can play at Amherst and I think you can play at Riviere, I'm going to say, go play at Riviere. You know what I mean? And that's not a shot to either program. That's just my point, is just that there's levels to this shit, and there's levels to college basketball, even Division I, II, or III. You got high major, low major, mid major. And then you got high academic. You
absolutely
state schools where I played at. We talk about this, and it's okay. Like, if you're able to play at any of those levels, you should be just considered a good basketball player. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
The focus is not where it's supposed to be. And a lot of it has to do with just fucking egotistical adults. And I'm not afraid to say it. And our program right now, our varsity program, I don't want to stay too much on Rise Above, but our varsity program right now is in a really good spot. And our 10th grade is a really good spot, but we're small. So compared to other programs that have 7 to 10 teams for each of these grades, we have one each, because all of my time and my focus is on one group of kids, 10 kids per team that I'm focusing all of my time and attention on, so that I know that I can give them the best possible experience and I can put all of my focus and attention on those specific guys. Right.
Well, that's the sign of a good program, you know, and here's the deal. A lot of people, parents, don't want to spend a good amount of money for an honest program because they're not going to be told what they want to hear. And that's my issue today with a lot of kids, is that they're insane as to what they think they're going to play at after high school. It's absolutely insane. Some of these kids like actually think that they're, oh, I got a shot at D1, D2, and I'm going to have a free education, blah, blah, blah. They won't even play at D3. Like, they have no idea how good you have to be to play at Division III. They have no idea. No, and so, and it's not their fault, because their AU programs, shit programs, their parents, uneducated about AU basketball or college basketball, have no idea about what it takes. And on top of it, don't want to tell them for some reason that, hey, listen, you're not good. It's fine. Are you having fun here in Orlando? Go swimming. It's okay. Yeah. But never going to play in college. But I hope you're having fun at this AU tournament. You can't shoot. You turn the ball over like crazy. And by the way, you're 17 and you're 5'5".
Yes.
You're right. So, and that's not your fault, but it is what it is. But have fun. This is about having fun. But a good coach, evaluator, would just tell them that. Listen, have a blast. Work your ass off. You're a great kid. You're going to be highly successful, whatever you do. It's just not going to be in basketball.
Yeah, and I hate having those conversations, but I have them only when the questions are asked or only when it's raised.
Exactly.
If a kid tells me, coach, I want to play at Duke, I'm going to say, all right, let's do it. Let's make it happen. Like, I'm not going to shoot down those aspirations. And then when it gets to a certain point where I'm like, hey, listen, let's have an honest conversation. We're not going to play for Coach K tomorrow, but these are the places where I think you could be successful. I'll have that conversation with you, right?
Yeah.
But if a parent wants to call me and you want to put me on the hot seat, I'm going to flip it right back. Because, hey, if it was the case, I already know all these guys. I already know all those coaches that your prep school coaches asked me to reach out to. I would have already called them if that was the case. I haven't for a reason.
Absolutely.
It's I don't know. It's.
I just wish parents need to know that D1 kids, right, are typically being looked at from – my experience when I was younger, eighth grade, they're like 6'4", 6'5". They're still growing. They're highly athletic, but their size is everything. Like, it's just everything. And as they grow, they're getting contacts from these schools from a very early age. If you know, and I'm just talking statistically speaking, but if you're a junior, right, and you're having a great career at Cohasset High School, okay, and you're 6'2", and you're a great kid, you're a great player, you're not playing at BC, Holy Cross, Northeastern, BU. It's just not happening. And it's not because you're a bad player. It's just you're undersized, you know, and it is what it is. But for some reason, the majority of parents these days, they can't connect with that. They just can't, you know.
Yeah, everyone's
she's out every day. Cool. She's out every day. She's practicing. She's doing. She won her free throw contest at the AU, the club, whatever. It's like they don't get it. They don't get it. They really don't.
No, that's awesome. I love that she won that. That's great.
Yeah, exactly. That's fantastic. Wonderful.
Yeah, she'll shoot team. Four of those in a game.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> So it's like I get crazy angry about it. Unappropriately.
Jared coached in our program. And if anyone's listening to this, what was I thinking? Couldn't tell you. But Jared coached a fifth grade basketball team with his son on it. And this isn't your, and this is going to be one of our future topics, but I guess we can talk about it a little bit right now. The whole parents as coaches deal.
Oh,
so, but Jared's the total opposite. Jared, I feel bad for Jared's kids. I'll be honest with you. Jared's son might throw him in a headlock by the time he's 18, 19 years old.
He's going to get a lot bigger, but yeah.
Oh, he's going to be a big boy. But he played in our, so Jared's living in South Carolina now.
Yeah.
And when he was in Massachusetts, he was coaching for our AAU program. And Jared would tweet out, like, he won a couple of tournaments with these guys. They won a decent amount of games. Or, you know, average youth level team. But he would just, I'll be like, hey, how'd the game go today? He'd be like, oh, my son sucks. He's like, couldn't get up and down the court. He's like totally out of shape. I'm like, oh, is this the kid who's like 10 years old? Absolute psychopath. But imagine this human being that we're talking to right now, coaching a fifth grade youth level basketball game. It's unbelievable. For comedic purposes, I wish you were still here.
I have a hard time. Like, even in fifth grade, I it's just something, like there's a switch that clicks and I go crazy during a game. But with my own personal kids, I just want them to work as hard as I did playing. And they do that. And now it's starting to happen. My older daughter was a very good player here. And she led her team to the South Carolina semifinals, and she's a great player. And I have a junior now who is also good. She's actually in Charlotte right now at an AU tournament. But you know, my son, it's funny. We were in Myrtle Beach last weekend for an AU tournament.
Oh no, we know.
Yeah. And, this fucking guy had a day. He had a pretty good game. He's playing well. And, but you know, they were getting beat pretty good, and he's just was starting to get a little bit crazy. And, you know, I'm sitting on the baseline on those chairs they put in AU games, and I'm like, I'm yelling at him. Hey, I could see him, starting to fight with this kid, and I could just sense it. So I'm screaming, stop, don't do it. But he's not listening. Shocker, because I deserve all of this. And then he picks up his fifth foul, and then he calls the ref a dipshit, picks up a technical, leaving the game. And then he starts to pick up the fight again as he's walking out the game with this kid. But it's like, you know, at the end of the game, I'm calming him down. I'm like, hey, you can't act like that. You need to go apologize, blah, blah, blah. And then I'm thinking to myself, I deserve all of this shit. Like,
Was the ref a dipshit though?
You know what? He wasn't. You know what's great about this? Is that he's an idiot. He's over aggressive. I'm trying to teach him the finesse of the game.
Typical RB player, by the way.
Yeah. He's just a meathead. He's just a meathead, and but he loves it. But I'm telling him, he loves football too, but I'm telling him, this is not football. Like, you can be very physical in basketball, but it's not football at the end of the day. So at the end of the game, he goes over and apologizes to the ref. And the ref says, and I love the ref for this, like the total mind fuck you put on my kid. I love it. He says, hey, by the way, that last call wasn't a foul. And my kid lost his mind. Like, just lost his mind. And he was so furious, so pissed off about it. And in the car, I'm like, God, that was awesome. That ref was
moved by the ref.
And ruined that kid's weekend. It was fantastic. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. You gotta learn from it.
Yeah,
my dad would never say a thing in the stands. This is what I loved about him, Papa Paul. He would sit by himself. And me and my brother Cliff, we both had tempers when we played.
Yeah. Love it.
Paul, I don't think not so much, but like, he would always look at me and Cliff when we play, and he would just give us the cut it out thing. You give us a throat slash, and you just knew, like, if you didn't want that Papa Paul backhand when you got to the car, like, he was like, all right, you know, I'm going to stop.
I love it.
But that's, you know what? Here's my thing on that. And I saw you tweet about it, and I'm glad we got the story, because I didn't know what it was about.
Yeah.
it's hard to, you don't want to take that away from your son, because it's so hard to teach a kid to play tough and to have that aggression. It's just about like honing it in. Like part of my whole spiel over here, when I'm coaching kids from the South Shore that are spoon fed, as you know.
Totally spoon fed.
Oh yeah. So it's hard for me to get kids to play tough because they don't really know what tough is when you got kids from, you know, the city or wherever you're coming from that are playing outdoor every day, and they don't have the same sort of, you know, opportunities that some of the kids might have in some of these other neighborhoods. So it's when I do get that kid, or when I do finally get them to play with that sort of emotion and intensity, I'm always like, hey, listen, I'm not mad at you. You just got to hone it in a little bit.
Yep.
But I don't want you to take away. I don't want that aggression to go away.
Yeah. It's funny you mentioned the spoon fed stuff, because I was coaching my son's, back when we lived in Massachusetts, his fifth grade travel team. And they, at the time, this was in Cohasset. At the time, they pretty good team, athletic kids. We matched up with Brockton in our league championship, right? And Brockton beat the living piss out of them in the championship. I'm saying by like 40 points. So at the end of the game, I said to these kids, hey, listen, you worked hard, good game, but you'll never, ever fucking beat a team like that. It's never going to happen. But I'm glad you had fun. You worked hard, good year. And they were kind of looking at me like, what do you mean? And so one of the kids says, well, you know, maybe next year. I'm like, no. There is no, you'll never, ever beat a team like this. Here's the deal. They're not only are they better basketball players, right? They're more athletic. And they're going home right now to go shoot hoops. You fuckheads are going to Switzerland for a ski vacation.
Yeah, right.
You know? So, and that's fine. That's totally fine. It is what it is. But here's the deal. They have you for this hour and a half, and they're going to enjoy it. You know what I mean? They're going to love it.
Yes.
So it is what it is. But my point is, why I get so angry on Twitter or whatnot, is that no one has those conversations with these kids.
No.
Like ever. Like ever. I'm glad, you know, well, I know RAB does. I know you guys do.
Maybe not our whole staff. Typically from me. Most of the time it's from me. But I do have that conversation. I'll walk into a game straight up. I'll walk into a game. I'm like, hey, if you think we're going to beat this team based off of talent alone, don't get it twisted. No. We'll lose by 30.
Exactly.
Okay? We're going to lose by 30 because they're more talented than us.
Yep.
It's not an insult. We're here to play them for a reason, because we can compete. But we have to be tougher. We have to play smarter. We have to outwork whatever it is in that specific game. But I straight up tell people all the time, I don't sugarcoat shit. I'm not sitting there after a game being like, oh, we're better than that team. We should have beat them. It's like, no, you're not better than that team. Like, you didn't go into that game against Kentucky being like, we're the better, more overall talented. Maybe you did.
No, we did not.
You go into that game knowing that we're playing Kentucky tomorrow. We have to be at our very best. We have to limit turnovers. We can't play. We have to play extremely tough. We have to get in their heads mentally. As much, you got to do more than you ever done, because it's not the Patriot League, right? Now you're talking about the SEC. So
new.
And that's the same. I think learning that at a young age, I could imagine how many parents wanted your head on a fucking stick after that game.
Yeah, but they did. But it's funny. It's like when you're passionate about what you're saying and you're right, it's funny how many parents just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
You know? And like you mentioned Kentucky with our coach, Coach Willer. He literally, I mean, there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He was going to say, listen, if you guys come out in the first 5 minutes and you're somewhat scared, you're going to lose by fucking 60. So, but we didn't have that. He instilled that mindset in us very early on when he first took the job, that we suck. That was his thing. You guys are terrible. And the only way you're going to win is through toughness and fundamentals. That's it. And it's funny when you listen to a coach and actually apply what they're saying and you start getting wins, the confidence starts building up, and next thing you know, your skills start getting a little bit better, and then you start winning more and more and more. So I think that applies not only to, you know, low to mid-major Division I college basketball, but also fifth grade Cohasset wreck. I really do. Yeah, I really do. Like if someone tells you the honest truth, listen, you're a terrible basketball player, but you work really hard. If you keep just rebounding and defending and we can work on the skills after that.
Yeah. You're going to be a great accountant.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Because you're not 6 foot eight.
Wrong with that.
Yeah. You're not 6 foot eight from Brockton and angry. Like it's just not going to happen, you know? So
you mentioned Coach Willard.
Yeah. Can we start the campfire on some Ralph Willard stories? We'll get the campfire going.
I've heard stories.
Oh my God.
Jared, I know he's probably your guy. You probably still talk. I'm assuming I still talk to my old head coaches. I know he's probably your guy, but I need something good. Any gold here. Give me a good gold story of Coach Willard that he's not going to feel like he's going to have to attack you after.
Here's a great story. Willard, I was recruited by a guy by the name of Bill Rayner, who's a Boston legend.
Framingham State now.
Yep. Boston legend, player and coach. Loved him. Actually, I went to Holy Cross because of Rayner and a guy by the name of Roger Breslin, who was no longer in coaching. He's actually in a millionaire in corporate real estate. But I go to Holy Cross and first year, just fucking awful, just terrible. We were so bad. I mean, we were like 8-24, like really, really bad. And then my sophomore year, we even worse. And I knew they were probably going to let Rayner go. It is what it is. So they did. And they brought in Ralph Willard, who at the time just got let go from Pitt. And he's a Holy Cross alum. And not to talk bad about Coach Rainick, who I loved, but when Willard came over, it was literally night and day. Like, Rayner was very much in tune with how we're doing, how school doing. You know, Willard came in and was like, I don't give a shit about you. I don't care about your grades. We're going to win. Like, figure out what you need to do to stay, like, as a student here. But we're here to win, and I got your back. If not, go fuck yourself. So I, for some reason, like, really gravitated to that because I wanted wins bad. Willard, the first day, like, he came into the Hard Center where we play, and we had a team meeting. He sat everyone down, and he had a cardboard box of video VHS tapes. He said, I've looked over all of your tapes from the games for the last 2 years. And he basically listed like four guys. You can go home right then and there. They were sitting right there. Wow. So I was like, fuck, like this is different, you know? And then he said, okay, the rest of you, I'll see you. And they could, and he, the thing is about Willard, he got those guys right. Those are the right guys that needed to go. And so when he did that, I was nervous, but B, I was like, oh shit. All right, here we go. And then the next morning we started at 5 a.m. And he's a psycho. Complete. Like, I thought I loved the game, and I do love the game. And I, to this day, more than any, I would say more than anybody, but this guy, like, lived in him and I butted heads like absolute crazy, because he would always say, you know, Jared, I are too much alike. But from that day moving forward, it was basketball 24/7. We would stay in the gym. We had film 3 hours a day. Practice was 3 hours. And then you had to do the training table, as he called the training table, get worked on whatever injury you had for an hour. And then we had study hall 2 hours. And then we all had to eat together. So he maintained that we had a schedule 24 hours besides sleeping with each other. We couldn't do anything without each other.
So for the listeners, that's 9 hours a day of basketball activities. And that's 9 hours without the weight room.
That's not including weight room and individual workouts. Because individual, they broke out 3-4 guys, guards and bigs.
So that's a half a day. Round that up to 12. That's a half a day.
Yeah. And there was times where in the beginning when we were losing my junior year, we'd miss dinner because film would go too long at Kimball Hall. And we'd be like, we missed dinner. And he would literally say to us, go fuck yourself. I don't care. And he would go home. You know, like, win and you'll eat. Like, And that's what it was. And so we hated him until the stuff he was telling us was applying to wins. It literally like turned into wins. Like, oh, wow. Like he said, keep my hands up, get deflections, take charges. Wow. This is actually turning out to winning games. And then everything changed. Next thing you know, like he could have told me like, hey, I want you to wear flip-flops for the rest of the day. I would have done it. Absolutely. Like whatever you want me to do, because it equated to wins. So
Jared, I played with a couple guys in men's league who graduated from Holy Cross a couple years after you, the guy, Tim Clifford, who had a
really good career. He was awesome.
And
from Walpole.
From Walpole. And then the guy, Greg McCarthy, who went to
Zabana. Oh yeah. He was great too. Now. Yeah.
And, they would tell me that, you know, that Columbus Day weekend before October 15th would just be a gong show for everybody, because they knew once October 15th hit, it was just hell for the next six months. Their lives were over. And they would tell me, and they continue to tell me, which is why I was so excited to get you on, because you could just talk about it first person. But they'd say, you know, everyone hated Willard, like you just said, so the team would come together. Like he purposely made everyone hate him. So you guys would kind of come together and play together better.
He was the king of motivation. Like for someone like me, he would tell me I can't, and it would piss me off. And then like for someone like Jar Sankey's, who was our 7'1" transfer from Rutgers, he would like, you know, pat his back and tell him it's all good. Because you got a 7-footer in the Patriot League. That's your right. you know what I mean?
Meal ticket. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So he was he's in a phenomenal, but now even from a motivation standpoint, like take that away, because that from my point, my perspective, coaching, that's the easy stuff. Like his X and O stuff was incredible stuff. I would never, ever think about like ever that he had inbounds plays, not inbounds plays, but foul shot plays. When the other team is shooting a foul shot, each guy on the lane had a certain job as to how to angle. Like he would get that precise with everything. But again, to your point, we hated his fucking guts.
Hated him.
Oh my God.
They tell me every time I talk about Holy Cross, like, Rye, I absolutely hated it, but I loved it because we fucking won games.
That's it.
You know, and winning makes up for everything, right? Winning makes everything better.
Yeah. Actually in Kentucky did that last game. I had a pretty good game that game, and we almost beat them. And at the end of the game, he caught me in a hallway, and he gave me a hug. And he told me, he goes, I think you're a really good player. That's the only time he said it, like the only time. And it to this day, it's like one of the greatest things that ever happened to me, because that's how much I love that guy. Because, you know, he put us in so many uncomfortable situations that – during a game, overtime, whatnot, when it's like stressful, like you felt like somewhat at ease. You really did.
Prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was a phenomenal coach, but Jesus Christ, he was a prick.
So it makes sense how you turned out the way you did then.
Yeah, true. But I was already a prick before I met him. Yeah. But that's how we clicked really well. Actually, we're getting dinner in August with a bunch of guys. But like guys like Willard today, they'd have a hard time coaching.
It's Coach. What's Coach Curry? I'm going to call you Coach Curry because bring me back to your fifth grade days. What's Coach Curry's biggest pet peeve in the basketball world at this moment? I know you got a lot of them.
the world or in well,
no, not like the world. Not like that. You know, you went to the supermarket and someone didn't put your shopping cart back. But like, what is the basketball?
You know, when I played, I was told what my capabilities were, what my role was, and how to improve on that. Right. Today, I love the basketball world. I love AAU today. I really do. I think it's fantastic. I think I do though, because when I played AAU, there was like three teams. That was it.
Buddies and what?
And Greater Boston.
Yep.
And like, that was it. Like if you weren't projected to play in college, specifically Division I and Division II, you weren't playing AU. So now I think it's great. There's basketball all over the place. Kids are allowed to play. It's fantastic. My issue today is, again, what we were talking about earlier, is honesty. You know, even today, I watch high school basketball today. Kids will go literally 3 for 18. No one says a fucking word to them. Like, no coaches, parents, God, no. AU coaches, teammates, nothing. Like, keep doing your thing, you know, unless you get into a good AU program and you get a legitimate coach like RAB and some of the others, you know, and say, hey, listen, you're a good player. You're a great defender. You move the ball pretty good. You're a terrible shooter. Don't do it again until you get better. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that, right.
That's my issue with today. When I was a kid, I mean, I took 2 threes my whole high school career, you know, and I ended up being a shooting guard in college because I was told you're not good at it, you know? And then when I became somewhat okay at it, I was allowed to take maybe 2 or 3 a game, you know, and that equated to wins. Today, my issue to your point, coach, is honesty. No one is honest with anybody. Like, unless you want to get involved in a good AAU program where a good legitimate coach like RAB and some of the others will say to you, hey, listen, here's the deal. Like, this is what you have to work on. And until you do, you're not allowed to do this, you know, and that's my issue. Now, I got that at a grade school level, junior high level, and high school level. Now you got to pay for it. That's my issue.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. That's a great point. I mean, we have a kid, and I've talked to you off air about it. We have a kid named Jocko Jusella, who's playing from Finland, and I've coached him now for a few weekends. I've had him in practice for a couple of weeks, and I was watching him last night, and there was so many times where I was just admiring him as a basketball player, just how ball on a string, keeping guys on his hip, doesn't get sped up, which is such an undervalued,
totally
recruitable asset for a player. You know, everyone
he gets it. Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm coaching him when I'm like, hey, you know, he takes a bad shot. I'm looking at him. I'll call him over. I'm like, that's not the one. That's not a good shot.
Yep.
At the same time, I'm saying that I'm also knowing that this is going to be a kid who's going to play professional basketball overseas at some point in his life. He's a pro. He's going to be one of the best players that we've ever had in our program's history. And Sheehan can attest to that, but I'm not going to stop coaching him. I'm not going to stop telling him what I've, and he's a better basketball player than I've ever been in my entire life.
Yeah.
But if I see things that I feel like he can be better at, then I'm going to hold him accountable for it. And if he doesn't like to hear that, I know he can go to another place and play somewhere else tomorrow, but I don't want to do him a disservice. Right.
Yep.
That's what I guess that's my thing. You said it where you were like, the coach isn't going to coach that unicorn 7-footer the same way as he maybe coaches somebody else on your team. Yeah. I'm not a fan of that shit. I've never been. I've been that guy. At the same time, I think it probably taught me to be the player and coach I was. But I think that what could that 7-footer have been if you helped, you know what I mean? And that's why I treat the first guy the same as the last guy, hoping that something will come of it. I could be wrong there, but.
No, you're not. But that's why you have a really good program where most programs would take a kid like this that we're talking about and tell them, keep letting it fly. Keep doing it, blah, blah, blah. So hopefully he'll get a high major offer and he'll sit the bench for 4 years. Actually, he'll transfer after 2 years and go somewhere else. Like that's not what RAB is about. My point is that most AAU programs do the complete opposite. To promote, shoot, just total lie bullshit to get this kid at the highest level that the program thinks they can get to, and then promote that.
Right.
That's not what it's about.
Right.
It's really not. And it's terrible. Now, again, I love AU now. I really do, because more kids have a ball in their hand. But there are some clowns out there. Absolute frigging clowns.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Oh, yeah. And it carries over to high school basketball. Some of these kids, I mean, it's just insane how good they think they are when they're not at all. They're good players, but no one is honest with them. No one.
Yeah, we had Brian Cecile on last podcast, just acting as like
that kid was awesome. He is awesome.
Oh, you'd love him.
Awesome.
He doesn't. Awesome. I know
you'd love him.
I know you've never met him personally. You would love.
I saw him play. Just stud. Just a badass. I love him.
Works, wakes up at 5 a.m. every day.
Yep.
He's doing everything on his own. You would love
grinder.
Him. He's like old school grinder. Yep.
Grinder.
And I think that's why he was a perfect fit for us. But he talks about it all the time. He tells me all the time. He'll call me randomly out of the blue. He'll be like, dude, I just saw this mixtape on a kid. He's literally the fucking 10th guy on this team. He's like, he stinks.
Exactly.
He's like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, just don't worry about it. Or be like, this kid, that's the thing. The the focus, unfortunately, sometimes is spent all on what else someone is doing or what else someone is getting, and not focusing enough time and attention on just getting yourself better, which I get, because it's tough. It's like when you're seeing all that shit around you, we talked about this a million times on this podcast, Anthony Gurley, Corey, you know, Brian, whoever's been on so far.
Guys who have done it.
We didn't have social media. You didn't have that. I have to go look up your name. You're one of the best basketball players to ever come out of Mass, and I got two photos of you. Great photos, by the way. But two photos.
I mean, one
of back of your head trying to block Deshaun Prince. If you weren't playing Deshaun Prince, you wouldn't even exist. They were like, I'm like Jared Curry. They in the first.
But here's the deal, Coach
Prince.
Yeah, Coach, I'm okay with that. I kind of wish we'd get back to that. Like when I was playing, I played with a ton of low to mid major guys, Division I guys, and Division II guys, who were just as good as the Division I guys. They were just maybe an inch or two smaller. I wish we'd get back to that a little bit, because some of these kids have these highlight tapes. They'll never play in college. Where I played with some guys who played at Bentley, Babson, Tufts, Emerson, you know, Suffolk, studs who would kill these kids, you know, and no one has a clue who they are. And that's fine. It is what it is. I don't want to, again, grumpy old man shit, but the social media stuff in terms of the basketball world is out of control. It's out of control.
It's never been crazier.
Yeah.
It's never been crazier, and it sucks for me personally. And
I can't imagine having an AAU.
We just posted a video the other day, and it was a video of our varsity guys, and they were just playing in a tournament. Sheehan's acted as an assistant coach at this team for a couple of games so far. They're a good team. They work hard. But I'm not going to do a million videos like of these guys.
Oh,
I'm just going to show you one every once in a while. One, like, here's our guys, just show you that we can play. But I'm not going to have, I'm not paying a videographer to follow us $300 every weekend. Like, I'm not doing it. I'm just not doing it. It's not happening. And again, like, respect the grind for some of these guys, but we're not good enough for you to be following us. Like, we're the fucking Last Dance. Like, you don't need a behind the scenes documentary on RAB varsity. We don't need it.
And, you know, I say to the kids all the time, like, if you're a recruitable kid, no matter what level, you don't need this shit, right? You don't need the highlights and all that kind of stuff.
Coaches will find you.
Yeah. Cream rises to the top. I'm a big promoter of that. But as I get older, I start to question myself, am I full of shit? Do these kids need the highlights and stuff and all this? I'm like, I just don't know. You know, but then to me, at the end of the day, like, again, what you were saying, Coach Ryan, they'll find you. They'll find you.
Yeah, their job is to find you.
It's their job,
right? They're good at their job. They'll find
you. It's their job. Yeah, totally.
Well, listen, Jared, it's 11:30. I got a 12:40 game.
Don't lose. Don't lose, fucker.
I'm not. You were punctual today. I appreciate that. You were in the Zoom for at least 45.
Yeah, well, I felt bad about last time, although it wasn't my fault. It was
of South Carolina.
Yeah, it was Paul's fault last time, not mine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Producer Paul.
Yeah, Producer Paul. I have to ask. Okay, so I got to ask, I'm sure you have. I'm sure you know him. I talked to Hurley about him. But you have that great photo. That great photo that always surfaces every year of Larry Bird in college, Magic, a group of guys. And then you have Ronnie Perry
in
the photo, which I know was a stud, right? Well, you scored over 2,000 points at Holy Cross. Yeah. And everyone always says when they look at that photo, like, who the fuck is this guy?
He was drafted by the Cubs, too.
That's amazing. And he was the last cut of the Celtics, I heard.
Is that stud. Yeah.
If you know him, we would love to pick his brain. And I was talking to Hurley about this too. I think Hurley said he knew him on a personal level, but
I know we exchanged an email last week.
Okay.
You want him on here?
This is what we want to do. We want to get I'm sure he's, I mean, even the fact that he was a two sport athlete like that to play at those levels. I mean, you got to have, I mean, one, you're obviously a tremendous athlete, but two, you must have stories for days of. I mean, even just being, I can only imagine what it was like just looking around in that room.
I guarantee he'd love to talk to you guys.
That'd be awesome. That would be awesome.
Yeah. I hope we get Holy Cross back to those types of days, man.
Don't get me started. I'm pissed off.
That'll be another podcast. I was hoping we could ask you, but Brent's got to go. I want to, I'm a Holy Cross fan. I want to get it fucking going. going.
Yeah, we could go on for another 2 hours about this. I'm so fucking pissed off. But I'm with you. I need wins. I need wins tomorrow.
They got to get it going. And I think they will.
We can always get you back on as long as you have service. So we'll do it.
All right. Eat shit, Dick.
I'm gonna take you up probably on that trip. I was talking to the missus the other day.
Well, mi casa su casa, my man. Get down here.
Love that.
We're not playing golf, though. I fucking hate golf.
No. We'll play one-on-one. We'll film it.
You'll lose.
Most likely. Well, listen, Jared, it was a pleasure having you, my man.
I love you, buddy.
Text off the side, and we appreciate having on, man.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, Jared. Appreciate it, brother.
See you guys. Thanks.